Hosea 8, beginning in verse 1. Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel cries out to me, "Oh, our God, we acknowledge you." But Israel has rejected what is good, and an enemy will pursue him. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. Throw out your calf idol, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They are from Israel. This calf, a craftsman has made it. It is not God. It will be broken in pieces, that calf of Samaria. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head. It will produce no flower. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now she is among the nations like a worthless thing. They have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has sold herself to lovers. Although they have sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, these have become altars for sinning. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as alien. They offer sacrifices given to me, and they eat the meat, but the Lord is not pleased with them. Now He will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. Judah has fortified many towns. But I will send fire upon their cities, and that will consume their fortresses. If we were sitting at another place and another time listening to me preach the same lesson on it, I guarantee you what I would have done is I would have focused on God speaking to our nation. Are there some warnings in here that our nation needs to hear? Yes. But our nation's not here. We're here. At another time, at another place, you might have heard me teach this back in my old preacher days. I might have been speaking about our fellowship, about our brotherhood. Are there some warnings in here that would actually apply to the people who are God's people around the world? You betcha. And it would be right to address those things. It would be a right to address our nation. It'd be right for us to address our fellowship. But folks, our brotherhood's not here. Our nation's not here. It's just us. And so, honest, what I need to do this morning, what I think you need, you heard me say it, what I think you need to do, I know what I need to do. I don't know for sure what you need to do, but I think what you need to do is do the same thing I want to do. And that's, I want to hear what God has to say to me. I want to hear what God has to say to me so I can get my life right, so I can fix those things in me that are wrong, so that I can be some kind of blessing to this place, so I can be some kind of blessing to a fellowship, so I can be some kind of blessing to a brotherhood, so I can be some kind of blessing to a nation. Make sense? So let's do this. As little fun as there is in it, let's be honest with God and let God have a say to me, and have God have a say to you about what's been wrong, what's going on. Number one, verse 1, what's wrong in that? And you tell me so you know I'm not making it up. What's wrong? What's the problem? What have they done? What is it? They've broken my covenant, rebelled against my law, rejected what is good. Now stop. Boy, I can preach that about the nation and I can preach that about the church, but tell me, can I be honest about it about me? Folks, I had it. You know me. I have broken His covenant. I did. I broke it. What covenant do you want to discuss? You want to talk about the Old Testament covenant? You want to talk about those Ten Commandments that were the framework, the backbone of His law, His covenant? Have I broken them? You know I have. I sat for years in church and sometimes stood and preached in those churches. And I would preach things like, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And I would say from that pulpit and in my heart, "Oh, I can't believe anybody would ever do that. I would never do that." I did that. I broke God's commandment. I broke the covenant. In spite of His blessings, in spite of His love, I broke His covenant. So don't have me... I'm not shaking my finger at anybody unless I'm going to shake my finger at me. Let's don't be shaking our finger at any... Well, these politicians... We'll take care of the politicians in November. Let's take care of us right now. I have broken the covenant. Have you? I've rebelled against God's law. Have you? I have rejected what is good. I have done that. Ask what covenant you want. The Ten Commandment covenant. Oh, and there were more than just that one. How about lying? How about stealing? How about coveting? And a few others you want to throw in there? But what if you want to go to the New Covenant where Jesus says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, I've never done that, somebody says. But he said, but I say unto you, the man who looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not murder. Oh, I've never done that. But I say unto you, those of you who are angry with your brother are in danger. Do you hear what he's saying? Have we broken the covenant? It's not about, oh, let's all get together, turn the lights down low, sing Kumbaya. No, it's us addressing the will of God. God looks at us and shakes His finger and says, I've got the trumpet to my lips. There's trouble coming. The reason there's trouble coming, it's not because I'm not listening. It's because you're not listening, He says. I'm not listening to God. I broke His covenant. But I didn't just break His covenant. Look what else I did. Keep reading. Verse 4, you saw it. What was the second thing? What'd they do? They set up kings without my consent. They chose princes without my approval. Stop. I've never chosen a king. I've never chosen a prince. I've acted like a prince sometimes and thought I was king because that's what my name means and it should be respected, right? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But what have I done? What did that mean? What did it mean? What had they done?
They put rulers in place that they wanted instead of the consulting
God. They chose rulers they wanted instead of what God would approve. We done that? Have we let politics? Have we let speeches? Have we let debates make choices without letting God's wisdom help us with those choices? But folks, they're not just talking about rulers. We're not just talking about elections. While our convictions will affect how we vote in November, or should affect how we vote in November, he's not just talking about it. They chose, they made decisions. They made significant life decisions without His consent, without His approval. What did we spend all summer? What did we spend all summer trying to learn? God's wisdom, and to seek God's wisdom at every chance. When you got to make a decision about your life, choose God's wisdom. He knows what's best. When you're going to make a decision about choosing a mate, let God help you choose that mate. Use His wisdom, not just your preferences. When you've got to make a decision about a divorce, let God make that decision. When you've got to make a decision about a remarriage, let God make that decision. We have made life altering decisions without the... Not you. I said we. I'm sorry. I have done that. Have you done that? Have you made life decisions about marriages, about remarriages, about work, about children, about grandchildren? Have you made decisions about life without seeking God's wisdom? Now, I told you before, we've talked about it in here. I hear it a lot in here. Well, you know, this came together and this came together and this came together and it just seems so right, it must be God's will. Honk, 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 honk. Are you kidding me? Just because things came together, does that mean that it's God's way? God's will? Sometimes the smooth path is the path to destruction. So we've got to pay it. We've got to seek God's wisdom in this thing. I have made decisions about family. I've made decisions about work. I've made decisions about money. I've made decisions without seeking God's will. Have you? God said, I'm going to warn you. I've got to get serious with you. You've broken my covenant. You've ignored my wisdom. And then look what they've done. Look at the next thing. You tell me, so you know I'm not making it up. With their wisdom, with their silver and their gold, they made idols. Now hang on. There's some of us in here, been going to church since like right after Pentecost. And there's some of us in here that have no idea what the word Pentecost means. That's okay. I said that on purpose. We're not going to have a big study on idolatry. And you're thinking, what is idolatry? It's when people build an idol and they begin to worship it. Well, now that makes sense. We've seen that. We've seen that on National Geographic Channel. We've seen that in our Bible storybooks when we were kids. But let me illustrate it. Don't let this fall on Lily. All right. If I build an altar, let's just make it real simple. If I build an altar and this becomes my God. Now, you're thinking, well, that is so silly. I would never do that. Hang on. If I built an altar and this became my God, what does this God require of me? Say it again. See, whatever I want is what this God expects. So in the Old Testament, when they would build an altar, what always did they want? What did all those dead gods, what did all those idols want? Two things. Two of the strongest human passions.
Sex
and food. Now it involved money, but sex and food. And you read what happened in the Old Testament to people, that they would start to build idols and they would start to eat meat. And that's nothing wrong with eating meat, Jesus will now tell us. But back then, there were certain meats they couldn't eat. And the meats they were allowed to eat, they had to be prepared in a certain way. But they threw that out. They ignored God's covenant, rejected God's covenant, ignored God's wisdom, and they exposed themselves to all, not only disobedience to God, but all kinds of diseases because they were hungry. And my God wants me to eat. My God wants me to be happy. Hang on to that. Remember that. The other one was sexual desires. And a part of their religious service was, having sexual relations. And it was shameful stuff, folks. It wasn't just man, woman, or same sex. Sometimes it involved bestiality. It's horrible, nasty old stuff. But where did that come from? It came from their God. They could justify it by our God demands that. Where were their gods getting it? From the people that built that God, right? Now, have you ever built an idol? Nope, never. I'm glad there's one of these things I haven't done. Except, I have. It's never been with wood. It's never been with stone. It's never been with wrought iron or a ceramic little doll. But I have exalted choice. I've exalted me over God and God's will. Have you? Real quick. Have you ever said, have you ever thought, have you ever heard? I'll put it in all three ways so you can catch on to it somewhere. Have you ever thought, said, or heard somebody say, God wants me to be happy? So if God wants me to be happy, then this must be okay. So what is it that's become priority? My happiness. Now, if my happiness becomes priority, guess what happens to anything that makes me feel uncomfortable? Anything that takes away pleasure from me?
Discarded.
It's not comfortable. That's wrong. In this room, y'all, we're not talking to the nations. We're not talking about the brotherhood. I'm talking in this room. It has been said. Now, I'm not going to look at you and remind you that you said it. I'm not going to point my finger. But we've talked about this. It has been said in this room. Well, why would God make it so hard if He wants us to be happy? It was said. Folks, God's will is to keep us safe. It's to save our souls. It's to get us to a place where we can be happy. But that doesn't always mean that I get to be happy right here, right now. The pastor told her, it's okay for you to go ahead and get a divorce, even though nothing has happened in the marriage, if you're just not happy, because God wants you to be happy, therefore if you want to be happy, you can get a divorce. What does that do with the will of God? Okay. You found out that you were pregnant, and you didn't want to be pregnant. And God wants you to be happy, so what can you do? Your choice becomes God. Have we made ourselves like idols? Have our choices become gods? And look at the people that we honor. Look at the people that we let influence us. Look at the people that we let control us. Some of you, bless your heart, some of you are still running with a crowd that is encouraging you to do nothing but whatever makes you feel better. If you just take this, drink this, try this, touch this, taste this, if you just try this, you're going to be happy, everything's going to be good. And we put our choice over God's will. What does he say is going to happen to that God? What's going to happen to that calf God? What's going to happen to that idol? He is going to tear it to pieces, y'all. You ignore God's covenant. You reject God's law and ignore God's wisdom. Trouble is coming. You make yourself an idol, whether it's stone or not. When you exalt your choice over everybody else, over everything else, when you make choices that not only don't honor God but don't protect your family, you are putting yourself ahead of God. And you do that, He will win. His warning is, I will tear that God down. Anybody in here ever had their choices removed? You get into a situation where you no longer have a choice. Kids taken away. Put in jail. Loss of a husband, loss of a wife, and no longer have choices. God is warning us. We keep His word. We seek His wisdom. And we honor Him, not ourselves. Keep reading. Look at verse 9. The last phrase of verse 9 is the fourth thing that they had done. It says they had sold themselves to lovers. Now we know the background of that. We've been reading Hosea together. We understand that Hosea married a woman named Gomer. And she was his wife, and apparently his faithful wife for a while, and they had a child. And then she went and was an adulteress and had a child by another man while she was still in his home. Eventually she stops being an adulteress and becomes a prostitute, and she begins to seek her lovers, and so much so that they're tired of her, they run from her. She can't catch them until eventually she ends up being a slave with no choices at all. What'd God do with her God? What did God do with her idol? Smashed it to pieces. And He will do ours the same way. But it says she sold. Ephraim was the same way. The nation sold themselves to their lovers. I prayed about it, and I've been wrestling with this all week long, and I'd give anything in the world if God had given me another illustration. I wish God had given me another illustration. I wish I'd have thought of one. I'm not blaming God. I'm just telling you, it's all I've got. But it's honest. And it's real. Folks, I've done that. Have you? I've sold myself. Now, I'm not talking about being a prostitute. I'm not talking about being an adulterer. You know my sins in that regard. I'm talking about I've let myself be sold into somebody else's control, somebody else's control, just because I didn't want to acknowledge God's wisdom or obey God's will. Let me tell you what I'm thinking, what I'm talking about. You ever let yourself get in debt, so much debt that it controls you? That it takes over your life? I did. Trying to rebuild my life when I, by my shame and sin, hit my life, hit the reset button on my life and had nothing. The car I was driving and the clothes on my back, and I started trying to rebuild my life. I started making decisions, not healthy, not good decisions, that have so allowed me to become in such debt that I no longer have control of. I've mortgaged my future. I've mortgaged my future. I can't make certain decisions that I would make otherwise because I am in so much debt. Now, there's no attempt for sympathy in this. This is a confession. All right? Anybody else know what that's like? Anybody know what it's like to put yourself in a place in so much debt that you are working today for somebody else and you can't quit because they're standing there already with their hand out? I've done it. I made decisions about family. I made decisions about keeping a wife happy and children in the lifestyle they became accustomed. I kept them, wanting them to be happy, wanting us to be together. I wanted that, them to have the kind of life that I wanted them to have. And by doing that, what did I do? Have you done it? I put them at risk. I put my health at risk. I put my life in somebody else's hands to control me. Have you done it? There's some of us in here that know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're working through it and you're trying hard to work through it. Some of you are on the edge of it though, so I'm going to warn you. Folks, the way you get out of debt is not borrowing money to get out of debt. Because you're still in debt. And those of you who are just applied for a credit card, burn it. Because what you'll do is, you know, you'll go to the store one day and, you know, I'm just going to get this for what I need. Just going to have this for what I need. Only in the case of an emergency. And then you go to the store and you see that jacket on sale. And that if you buy that $300 jacket it was a $600 jacket on sale for $300, you think, I know you, I love you, but I know you. You think, I can save myself $300. No, you can't. You can spend yourself $300. And if you put it on that credit card, guess what? You have just now committed yourself to that credit card company for the next $300 worth of work. Well, it doesn't come due for 30 days. Oh, okay, good. You got a furlough for 30 days. And then guess what's going to happen? Cha-ching. And then they're going to tell you, here, what you do is you pay the minimum amount. It's only $10. Only $10 a month. Well, who can't handle $10 a month? I spend that much money on Cokes. I've heard that. I spend that much money on Cokes. I spend more money than that on cigarettes. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that in here, was I? Because some of us still struggle. We have no money, but we still can enjoy that. But we've done it. And you start paying that $10 a month, and guess what? That 300 becomes 400, that 400 becomes 800, that 800 becomes 1600, and all of a sudden that $300 jacket is going to cost you $2,000. But I've been paying my bills. I pay my bills every month. Folks, I'm not jumping on you. I'm telling you me. I made these decisions. I made these mistakes. I put myself in danger of not having control of my life, of my day. A brother who I thought was wanting to be encouraging was not when he said, "Man, well, you messed up your life. You're never going to get to retire." I never planned on retiring anyway, honest. Never thought about retiring. I have no interest. I have no interest. No, none. No interest in cruises. Nope. don't have any interest in cruises. Don't have any interest in buying a mobile home and driving it from here to there. And if you do that, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying I got no interest. I plan on working until I drop dead. Sooner the better, but I'm working until I drop dead. But you know what? I don't have a choice. I don't have that choice because of decisions I made. Decisions I made for my comfort, the decisions I made for family's comfort, the decisions I made for somebody else, I did not trust the Lord to take care of me. I didn't trust the Lord to take care of us. I sold myself to creditors. Be careful. Be careful. Last thing. I got to hush. Look at verse 11. Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings. Now hang on. Bible students that are in here, been reading their Bibles since forever. What do we know about the altar for sin offerings? There's only one. Very good students. Y'all are excellent students. I had to wave my finger for 30 minutes. There's only one. And what did they do? They built many sin offerings. They built many altars for sin offerings. Hang on. Why would you do that? If you know there's only one, if God's Word said there's only one, and then you built many altars for sin offerings, what are you doing? Why would you do that? To make it more convenient. Why would you do that?
You plan on sinning a lot.
Why would you do that? Because it just makes more sense, doesn't it? If one is good, wouldn't a bunch be better? But hang on, folks. Have we done that? Have we done that in our choices of churches? Have we let churches determine, I like the way this one sings. I like this one, the way this one treats kids. I like this one, the way they preach. Have we done the same thing? Have we taken our soul to the Lord in those places and said, I like this one because, and it has nothing to do with, is the truth taught there? Can my sins be washed away by what's taught there? You see what I'm saying? They had done that. Now we can blast our nation and we can blast our brotherhood. He's talking to me right here. Have we done that? Have we started making adjustments? Have we started making preferences over God's will? Now he says it in the next one. He said, I wrote for them many things of my law, but they regarded them as alien. Now what does that mean? In spite of what God has taught us, we've treated it as alien. What's God trying to teach us? What's he saying? How did I treat it as alien? Acted like I didn't know what it was. Or? I disregarded. Why? What does he mean, alien? I get an extra donut for that lady. Because, it doesn't apply to me. It's been said in this room. And I won't point my finger, but it has been said in this room. Well, that just doesn't make sense to me. I can't understand why God would say that. What's the point of that statement? I don't think that'll work. Folks, this is not about whether I think it'll work. This is not about whether I make it make sense or not. I was told in this room, well, if I understood what God was wanting, then it would be easier for me to obey. Does that bother you like it bothered me when I heard it? If I understood what God wanted, why God wanted something, it'd be easier for me to obey. What am I saying to God?
You have to explain.
Make sure it's okay.
You clear it with me first, God, and if I think this is a good one, I'll go your way. If God said it, that settles it. But folks, I watch us, and I love you, I watch us. But I read in my Bible, did you? That we're supposed to stay away from drink and from away from people that do drink. That doesn't make sense to us. That's just not reasonable. How can you live it? Proverbs 23, you remember it. He taught us there, man. drinking ain't good. Drunk ain't good. But we put ourselves in... We've got folks that do that. We've got folks that have... He said, here's how you choose a mate. And yet we've made other choices. Because, well, that won't work in this life. That just doesn't really work. Folks, God, whether it's in church, out of church, He wants us to treat His Word like it is our will. And what He says goes. And when it comes to religious things, our prayers, our songs, our gifts, our sermons, our suppers, if it's our lives that we're giving as sacrifices, He wants them given His way. His way, not our way. I've made mistakes this way. Have you? I've let my preferences become more important than His will. And He said, Rex, there's a warning for you. So I'll stop there. He's left us a warning. We've rejected His will. We've ignored His wisdom. We've built our gods. We've sold ourselves to lovers. And we have treated His Word as if it was alien. You know why? You know why? Look at verse 14. And I'll hush. You know why? We've forgotten God. It's time for us to acknowledge God again. It's time for us to prove our love. It's time for us to show our faithfulness. That's how we fix these things. Now real quick, how do I fix them in my life? How do I go about fixing those five things that He says are wrong with me?
Admit the guilt.
Admit the guilt. Surrender. Seek His face. And acknowledge Him. Remember where He taught us that?
Yep.
It's in this, chapter 5, remember? He says, admit the guilt, seek His face, and acknowledge God. I want you to look at verse 13, this phrase. Somebody tell me what it reminds you of. After He says the Lord is not pleased with them, He says, now He will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. What does that sound like? What does that remind you of? What does that remind you of? Nothing? First meeting said it. You guys are smarter and much better looking. So what does it remind you of? Judgment Day? My ex-wife? No, I didn't say that. I'm pointing my finger over here. What else? It reminded me of a statement that will be made in a new covenant to a new people, that their sins I will remember no more. You know who says that? In Hebrews chapter 8, God says it. The same God that said, Hosea 8, I will remember. In Hebrews 8, He says, I will not remember. And in Jesus, He will not remember our sins. That's what this supper is about. We're going to eat a piece of bread to remember the body of Jesus. We're going to drink a little cup of grape juice to remember the blood of Jesus. But what He's trying to tell us in that, He knows that we've rejected His covenant, we've ignored His wisdom, we've built altars, we've sold ourselves to lovers, and we've not pleased, and we've just forgotten God. He remembers all that. He knows that. But He says here, because of what Jesus did, I will remember it no more. So let's be honest and examine ourselves today. When we eat this, when we drink this, let's examine ourselves. Let's be honest. If there's some things we need to confess, if there's some things we need to change, let's get on with it. But let's make sure that we hold on, that we remember the gift He made for us on that cross makes it possible for us to be free of guilt, to be free of sin. And He will not remember that against us. So we leave here warned, but we don't leave here worn out. We leave here forgiven. We leave here refreshed. We leave here without sin. Thank God.